Let's see. It's part of the Bud Light Concert Series. You can purchase tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
She never came back for more.
She did never
It
did.
Was not a good performance by me.
I see.
Not my best makeout session.
That's unfortunate.
Well, yeah. It was.
Big win for the Astros. I say it's a big win. I thought this was a big win. We're here, by the way, in West Virginia at the Greenbrier, thanks to our friends at Miller Lite all week long from Monday here this morning until Thursday, Mike Meltzer and Seth Payne. I know a week ago, at this exact same time, I was discussing the fact that it was a big win to come back against the Blue Jays on Sunday, down 3 runs.
You said it was the biggest win in franchise history.
This, I also feel, was a big win, because things after that comeback in the ninth inning against the Blue Jays last Sunday did not go well. They lost 5 games in a row. They were down 6-0 on Friday to Texas, and they actually nearly came back. Nomar Mazzara made a really nice play in right field in the eighth inning. Then Saturday, fires is awful. Liriano can't do anything. They just get their doors blown off, essentially. And Sunday, in what was, I would say, a big spot for Dallas Keuchel, and then a big spot for Chris Davinsky, and then a big spot for Ken Giles. They kind of had to hang on by the skin of their teeth, basically, and they got, I would say, a little bit lucky from a few different scenarios with a double play that was hit hard, and then at the very end of the game, where I wasn't sure if the guy went around for the final strikeout.
Yeah. It didn't really look like it at all.
It didn't look like it. But they got the win. I felt like that was actually an important win, 2-1.
And Keuchel, who admonished people for freaking out over a couple of bad starts or a few bad starts, was reminded by Jerome Solomon that, hey, the players themselves seemed a little bit freaked out by the lack of moves at the trade deadline. Let's not talk about people freaking out here. The city was minorly freaking out until it sounded like the players were down in the dumps and morose. No, literally what? That's what Reddick said, right? Down in the dumps.
Down in the dumps.
And that's what really, I think, heaped onto the freak out, is people were wondering if people were in open rebellion against Luno or something. But I would say this. This is my very, very simplistic take on the whole Keuchel stuff. When somebody's as good as Keuchel, I think sometimes there's a tendency to forget how hard it is
to be
as good as Keuchel, or even simply to be a good major league pitcher, and just how long his layoff was. So for a guy whose hallmark is pinpoint control, it's not so simple just to play a few games in the minors and then come up and be doing what you're doing. So you've got to stack a few of these performances on top of them. But the most encouraging thing isn't even the performance itself. It's that he seemed pretty genuine this whole time when he's been saying that he felt healthy, and that health wasn't the concern.
Yes.
That was my biggest fear, was that that pinch nerve just really genuinely wasn't getting any better, and he's trying like hell to act like it is, and maybe that was the issue. Hopefully that seems not to have been the issue, and it was just the old run-of-the-mill, got to take some time to get back into it.
Here was Dallas Keuchel. There'll be a little bit of music here, because they were excited about this win yesterday in Arlington. Here was Dallas Keuchel on the win and facing his doubters on Sunday.
Seems like everybody else is panicking but us, and I mean, that's just the way it goes. So this is a good quality win, and we'll take one too any day of the week.
AJ said you took this start a little personal. Was that kind of how you felt?
No, I just felt good. And that's amazing how many people start freaking out when you don't have a couple good starts and the world's ending, or you're not good anymore. You're a scrub, and stay the course, and that's what you do if you want to last in this game.
I remember when you called him a scrub.
I got to tell you.
How many people called him a scrub, I wonder?
Probably some idiots on social media.
I bet. You know what? Yeah, he saw somewhere, which is good. I'm glad he took that and used it.
I mean,
as long as it doesn't obsess over to a point where he's losing sleep or something.
Right now, Dallas Keuchel has to be one of the five most interesting people, one of the five most interesting athletes to listen to in this city.
Yeah.
Because he's actually willing to say things, even if they bother you. Even if they bother fans, even if they bother the media,
yeah,
he's willing to say basically whatever.
And he doesn't care whether he's pitching well or not either.
He'll just
flat out put it out there. I like it. It's no filter. And I think, though, part of that is that as a hypersensitive fan base, I'm not saying that in a critical way. I'm saying in a way where, like, as a fan base, we get nervous, we get tense when there appears to be some sort of a slide that doesn't portend great things for the playoffs. So every little thing gets amplified. And I really do think that part of the difference between what Reddick said and what Keuchel said about their disappointment with Luno was just in simple tone. I don't think Keuchel has a way of couching things.
No.
And I think Keuchel just comes out and says what was a very honest and real and genuine emotion, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the players are you know, having players-only meetings rebelling against Luno or thinking that the organization's no good. It means what it, you know, like, taking it at face value as much as possible. They were hoping for something better. They didn't get something better at the trade deadline, and you move on, but it's not like professional athletes just shut it down and aren't going to try hard or anything because there was no move at the trade deadline.
Yeah, it was just interesting that someone was so honest with reporters, because we don't usually get that sort of thing. I want to hit on this as well. So this is going to be an interesting week here, Seth, because the Patriots are in town tomorrow and Wednesday. So they'll have pretty interesting practices here. I'm sure a lot of people will be out here at the Greenbrier in West Virginia. Landry said he was confused by something I said late in the week, which is that I didn't want Watson to get hurt. And he pointed out, hey, if there's a risk of Deshaun getting hurt, isn't the risk of Savage getting hurt higher? Yes, but my point is Deshaun Watson and his health is more important for this franchise than Tom Savage's health.
Mike is, you know what Mike is doing here?
What am I doing?
You are treating Savage like that first wave of infantry in like a medieval battle.
Kind of.
You're like the king sitting up on your horse with your pretty shiny armor, and you're just like, oh, send them in.
Yes.
They'll all die, but it'll soften it up for our true soldiers. That's how you're treating Tom Savage.
I'm like sending the people up the gates of Casterly Rock, and they have to deal with the archers who are basically shooting arrows directly at them.
You had to take it nerdy and make a reference that 50% of our audience isn't going to get.
Yeah, they'll get it.
Okay.
Well, let's say, the infantry.
But
yes.
Anyway, yeah, just you're okay to play it fast and loose and potentially risk Tom Savage's health where you feel a little bit more careful. Well, not necessarily even because he's more quote-unquote valuable, but because he is a rookie. And you feel like, in theory, Savage should be able to protect himself better, but that's still our biggest question mark about Savage.
Yeah, my whole thing is, okay, so on one hand, like, I don't know that the Texans are ready to be a Super Bowl contender. I mean, that's one thing. They haven't had a lot of signature wins the last couple of years, the last 2 years, where I feel like all of a sudden this team is going to morph into one of the best teams in the AFC. Maybe they'll prove me wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe they will. But I'm just saying that when the most important thing for them, because I think we're all convinced that come 2018, week one, Deshaun Watson is the starting quarterback of this football team. But the question is, at what point does he begin that quest?
Right.
I think most of us feel like it'll happen at some point this season. So what I want is for that to happen, for him to know the offense as well as realistically possible, and just that when he goes out there, that he knows some of the things that O'Brien talked to us about, which is knowing when the play's over, knowing when to slide, throw the football away. Like, I don't want to sound callous, but I'm not overly nervous about Tom Savage's health when it comes to this franchise and his future, whereas I might be nervous about Deshaun's health or Watt's health or Clowney's health. Those are all the really important things. We have headlines coming up where we go through what is going to be, I believe, the Texans' final week here at the Greenbrier. So we will set that up, and the Patriots' practices, and the Astros avoiding a critical sweep at the hands of the hated Rangers in Arlington. Mike and Seth, we're live in West Virginia, brought to you by Miller Lite, Matt Radio.